Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to Sports Station. 92.3 The Fan is Cleveland Sports.
Hot, hot!
Cleveland Sports is 92.3 The Fan. WKRK-FM and HD1 Cleveland Heights. In Odyssey Sports Station.
92.3 The Fan, 2020 Sports. Now, Shedeur Sanders has made two starts for the Browns and appears one of his favorite targets is fellow rookie tight end Harold Fannin Jr. The pair poking up for a touchdown during Sunday's loss against the 49ers. Fannin having good chemistry with Sanders so far.
Obviously the practices, but I feel like us just sitting down, talking in the locker room, you know, seeing how he wants things and seeing how I see things and, you know, trying to just meet in the middle, really.
Browns off today, back to practice tomorrow in Berea, getting ready for the game this coming Sunday at home against Tennessee. Wyatt Teller's going to miss the contest as he's dealing with a calf injury. Latest college football playoff rankings going to be announced tonight. The last one before the playoff bracket is announced on Sunday. Tonight's rankings expected to set up a battle between number one Ohio State and number two Indiana for the Big Ten championship. Following the loss to the Celtics on Sunday, Cavaliers guard Jalen Tyson rather critical of the team last night. Tyson 27 points, 11 rebounds in the victory against Indiana. Tyson, if there's any blowback from his comments the night before.
That's the word around the whole locker room. Like everybody, that's not me saying it. Like that's from the whole locker room, right? We know what it is, and that's what makes us how we can be as such a good team, because like we take that criticism and we move on.
Cavs off tonight, back in action tomorrow night and back home in Rocket Arena when they entertain the Portland Trail Blazers. Status hearing happening in New York today in connection to a federal gambling case involving Guardians pitchers Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz. Both players facing up to 65 years in prison, both accused of rigging pitches in exchange for bribes to help out gamblers. Get all the latest Browns content filtered right to your phone during the regular season by following the Browns playlist and 92.3 The Fan on the Odyssey app. Headline sports news every 20 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan. From the University Hospital Sports Desk, I'm Jeff Thomas.
You can now stream The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima live on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel every weekday from 6 till 10 a.m. Subscribe to the 92.3 The Fan YouTube page now for free.
Bring on those Tennessee Titans, folks. A win has to be on the way, right? I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Withers is in for Andy Baskin today. She covers the Browns for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Mary Kay Cabot, also now known as X. And she joins us on the Fan Hotline. Good Tuesday to you, Mary Kay.
Same to you guys. How you doing?
Good. Traveling going okay for you today? Or have you not been out yet?
I have not been out yet, but I have been looking out there and contemplating going out.
Stay in.
It's not been, the roads weren't bad, so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Tom and I are talking about the management in place, front office coaching staff. And Mary Kay, I like Kevin as a coach. I think he's a good coach. People hate when I say that. I'd like to see him back. I can also make the case for why you move on after two really rough seasons. And you could probably do the same for Andrew Berry despite a great draft. What do you think? How does this thing play out, and how critical are the final five?
Well, I think that it's hard for any NFL head coach to win with rookie quarterbacks. Look what's happening in Tennessee right now. They already got a coach fired there. It's very, very difficult. Look what happened in New York, Brian Daboll fired. It's very, very hard to win with rookie quarterbacks. And I think that Kevin has suffered from the quarterback situation this year, which didn't go the way anybody expected it to go. This was supposed to be Kenny Pickett starting the season, then moving into Dylan Gabriel, and maybe then starting Shedeur Sanders for some games at the end of the season. And it didn't go that way at all. And I do think that Kevin deserves another chance to come back and work with a quarterback that can really win a bunch of games for this team, whether it be Shedeur or somebody that they draft or a veteran or whoever. So I do think that that maintaining the status quo would be prudent. But, you know, these things do have a tendency to take on a life of their own. And even though this is rookie ball that we're watching this year, I do think that, you know, sometimes you sit down at the end of the season and you make some decisions and you start talking and one thing leads to another. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I certainly don't think that he should take the fall for rookie ball this year.
I'm with you, MK. Do you think, to me, there were some telltale signs in the offseason, which were, in my mind, you know, D and Jimmy at the owners' meetings and then again at training camp talking about, you know, the Watson trade and having to dig, you know, to climb out of that hole, what have you. I also think, and you just brought it up and we spoke about it earlier, was how this quarterback plan just got off the rails, you know, 4 weeks into the season. And I think we would all agree that Joe Flacco was not playing well and something needed to be done at that position. But do you sense, because of the way that has changed, that this, you know, for the lack of a better term, is kind of a red shirt year for Kevin and for Andrew Berry, that the expectations, maybe while they were not made public, were that this is going to be a developmental year for this team?
Well, I think so. That was the way that it was portrayed to us at the owners' meetings in March when Jimmy talked about what the plans were for Andrew and Kevin. And it really did feel like this was going to be a redshirt year where they could figure out what was happening at quarterback and knowing that they might not have their guy this year and really develop this rookie class, which is the foundation of the Super Bowl window too that they're developing right now. So that's what this is. And I've said this before on 92, the fan, that this is Super Bowl window two that is being developed here. And I think it's a pretty good start, really. This rookie class is pretty darn amazing. And they're going to add to the pile a lot next year. Now, sometimes when you do move into a new era like that, sometimes you do decide to have a new voice, a new face of the franchise, a new coach with it. So I don't know what Jimmy's thinking, but I do think that Kevin does deserve an opportunity to see what he can do when he has the quarterback that can win a bunch of games for him.
The fourth down call is still driving me nuts. And it wasn't just that maybe they should have called a timeout because they were all discombobulated. I don't grasp the analytics on that, Mary Kay. You know, the football sense, I mean, to me is, your defense is pretty good. You're down by two. Why would you give your opponent a short field like that? Does Kevin jump to that stuff too quickly? Does he not do the same thing consistently? All that said, or was that the thing to do?
Well, I'm anxious to hear what Tommy Rees says about it when we talk to him on Thursday. Unfortunately, we have to wait to talk to the coordinators on Thursday, which is a long, long way after these decisions are made. Now, Kevin originally told us when it comes time to deciding actually who is going to go for it on, or what if they decide to go for it on fourth and one, that would fall on him. But I want to hear what Tommy has to say there. I'm guessing that, you know, perhaps it was Kevin's ultimate decision. And I don't have a huge problem with being aggressive in that moment. If it had worked, we would be praising the call. But I think really what happened there is the fact that they had so many issues on the offensive line. It was a substitution problem more than anything. Yeah. And you've got a rookie out there trying to figure out how to manage it. And that's a tall order for a rookie in that situation. But with not knowing who was supposed to be on the field when and not realizing if you've got too many men or too few men on the field, that put Harold Fannin in dire straits there, and somebody should have probably saved him from that.
Despite what I said, Tom has a perfect stat that might make you think you should go for it there. What'd you tell me before?
Yeah, I got a couple. They went into the game. They were 11 of 12 on fourth downs of 4 yards or less.
That's really impressive.
And they went into the game leading the league at 89% with 8 of 9 on fourth and one. So I'm with you, MK. It was a substitution execution problem, but somebody should have saved 44 and gotten a timeout called. Let's shift to Shador for a second. I thought the game plan, particularly in the first half, was very sound on Sunday, MK. I thought that, you know, they were not necessarily saving Shador from himself, but they weren't going to put him in situations where he was going to throw the ball downfield in tough conditions, and kind of, you know, dink their way down and then ran the ball and that perfectly set up the touchdown pass. But as a whole, what did you think of his first start at home and his second start overall?
Well, I think he's showing some things, and I just posted a column about this and where I think this might be going and what the situation is. I think he's showing some signs that perhaps maybe he actually can be a winning quarterback in the NFL. And the things that I see that make me believe this and why I think the Browns probably believe this to a certain extent is the fact that he does sort of have that it factor. He's got a nice strong arm. He's got the ability to evade the rush. He's showing some things. He's got elite accuracy, a really nice touch on the ball. I think what makes this evaluation difficult is that the offense is horrible. And I think it's hard for any quarterback right now. I think even an established veteran might have a tough time stepping in here and trying to function with the way that this offense has gone this season. I think a major reason for that is the fact that Jerry Jeudy, for whatever reason, is not himself this year. And remember, Joe Flacco said, as Jerry goes, so goes this offense. And it just hasn't worked out this season. And I'm sure it has a lot to do with the quarterback upheaval, but we saw the sideline confrontation between Shador and Jerry. So when your number one wide receiver is not able to contribute in a meaningful way, it's going to be tough on any quarterback. But I think he has shown signs and he deserves a chance to keep going. I like the 1 week at a time thing. I like that because it keeps him hungry. Shador has,
exactly.
Right? I mean, he has a way of feeling like he has arrived after he wins a game, whether it be preseason or regular season, and he doesn't need to be feeling like he's arrived yet. He needs to stay hungry and just keep working at this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So with all that said, where's Dylan Gabriel stand in this?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they take a look at this and say, maybe we could just use one more game or two more games of Dylan Gabriel for more data, heading into the season. I doubt that's going to happen. I don't think you're going to see Dylan Gabriel on the field this season. unless Shador has to come out of the game for one reason or another, gets hurt, can't start a game, whatever. I think that it's going to be Shador the rest of the way because I think they do see something in him and they want to know, do they need to draft a quarterback in April? They have to know that. And my whole column that I just wrote was about the fact that even if he starts the rest of these games, it's still going to be difficult to know the answer to that question based in part on what's going on around him on this terrible offense this season. So I think Dylan will be back with the team next year. I don't know if he's going to get much of an opportunity the rest of this year.
This offensive line going forward, Mary Kay, none of them are under contract, if I'm not mistaken. Jack Conklin just suffered another concussion. Yeah. You know, Joel Bitonio came back, which we thought would this, you know, this is probably his last year. You know, Wyatt Teller was now in a rotation on Sunday, which I thought was interesting. Now he's dealing with a calf injury. What, MK, where do they go forward with this line? Obviously, you know, you've got a couple young kids in the building and Whippler's shown a little bit here and there, but the lack of kind of foresight in having some depth there has been a real problem since day one, hasn't it?
It really has. And I really think that that has been a major, major problem for the offense this season, not just in the passing game, but in the running game too. It's hurt.
For sure.
So they need an overhaul on their offensive line. And I think that's another one of the reasons why they really want to know, is Shador Sanders the answer at quarterback? Because if he is, they've got these two first round picks that they can use on maybe an offensive lineman, a tackle, a wide receiver. So that's why it's so imperative to figure out exactly what they have here, because that line does need an overhaul. And I'll tell you, Joel Bitonio is playing some of the best ball of his career, despite everything going on around him. He's number 12 right now, according to the PFF offensive line rankings. And he's just playing lights out for someone of his age who might not have even been playing this year. And selfishly, we need him in that locker room, right, Tom? I mean, he's just a tremendous,
yeah,
right, leader on and off the field. And I would love to see him come back and play another year. I don't know if that's going to happen, but he's playing really well.
If he comes back to play another year, is it somewhere other than Cleveland?
No, he wouldn't do that. I think,
you don't
think
so?
No, but I think there's going to be a push here over the last 5 weeks to convince him to come back for another round. Joel, we need you, buddy.
Right. He's tremendous. And I honestly can't even imagine a locker room without Joel Bitonio and what he provides in terms of his leadership and just voice and face of the franchise. So that's my vote for him to come back. But, right.
A little inside information for the folks out there. So, you know, Mary Kay and I have been doing this long enough, and then we've seen the kind of the evolution or de-evolution, if you will, now of the locker room situation and the access. And what we are supposed to be as reporters are the conduits to the fans, and it's getting harder and harder in covering the NFL, and I know, MK, you feel the same way, to make a connection with these players and find out what's going on with the team. It's difficult to do, and they keep you at arm's length. They, you know, you're essentially being stiff-armed from the moment you walk into that locker room, which is why a guy like Joel Bitonio is invaluable, not only for the team and chemistry and what have you, but to create that foundation that between the media and the fans, because that's how they get the information out. That's how they get the information out about what this team is all about.
Absolutely. He's tremendous. And to keep going out there when you know that his body parts are not all working the way that he wants them to, and to just stand there talking to us all the time and to just give everything on the football field, What a gem the Cleveland Browns have in him.
Mary Kay, thank you very much. Always appreciate your time. Coming up in about 20 minutes, our old friend John Telich, legend from Fox 8, is going to join us. John is heavily involved in the Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame, and we're going to talk to John about that and more. I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Withers is in for Andy Baskin today, and we've been talking a lot about the coaching situation here with the Browns, talking a little bit about the front office situation, certainly talking about the quarterback situation, all those things without question are front and center, Tom. But I wonder, I wonder where Myles Garrett fits into this.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking the answer is obvious. Well, he's going to play defensive end for the Browns for years to come.
You thought but that last December, too, and well, everything got sideways for a minute, right? Yeah.
I wonder if by any chance Myles goes back to what he said last offseason and thinks, you know what, I did get paid. They showed the commitment to me, but I wouldn't mind getting traded.
Yeah, he's got 140 million reasons not to or whatever well, that deal is now.
But somebody else will pay him, right?
Yeah, no, I hear
somebody else will pick that up.
I think Myles, listen, first of all, kudos to Myles because I think he has shown leadership at a different level this year than he has in years past.
I would agree with that. Front and center, talking about the team every time he's asked to.
Typically in a very positive way as well, right? I mean, there were times in the past where it was almost LeBron-like, where there would be some ambiguity in his comments and everybody would kind of delve deeper into them. I think he's been, like you said, front and center. He's been a team spokesman. That's not necessarily been his way in the past. And he's been asked some difficult questions and he's had to handle them. And I'm sure over the next 5 weeks, by the way, just knowing kind of the way the media works, he will be asked about Kevin Stefanski and their relationship and whether or not this is something that he wants to see continue going forward. And I'm sure Myles is already thinking about having to answer that question and being diplomatic about it enough not to cause a real stir.
What do you think
Then again, I think there's a mutual respect there. I think
Kevin has been glowing in everything he's talked about with Myles since he's been here, but I don't know how a head coach could be anything but. I don't know. He's really good. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Thank God he's playing for me.
And I think Kevin knows enough to kind of allow the defensive room, if you will, under Jim Schwartz to kind of operate on its own. I know it's under the larger umbrella of the team concept or what have you, but the defense is the defense, and Myles is the leader of that defense. So I think it's a healthy relationship, Jeff, to your question. I think there's some questions on both sides as to, is this the best we can do together? I mean, this has mm-hmm. got to get better. I want to win a Super Bowl. So does the coach, obviously. How do we fix this together? I think there's a commonality there that they want to work together. So it'll be interesting to see what Myles has to say about that, because I know it's going to be asked of him. In terms of how what he's done on the field this year has been extraordinary.
Phenomenal, hasn't he?
Yeah. It's almost like we take it for granted that he's going to get a sack or two a game. I mean, the fact that
if he doesn't, you think he's had a bad game.
Well, exactly. And we forget, too, that he had that three-game drought followed by, 14-5 games or whatever it was. 13-5.
Yeah.
So, he is about to go into rarefied air, by the way. It's a short list of guys who have ever gotten 20 sacks in a season. I had asked him the question on Friday about how badly he wanted the record. I thought his response was very interesting in that he said, it's not a matter of me wanting it. It's a matter of like what I want this record to look like when I'm done. And he promised that it would be written on his wrist this week. And sure enough, the number 25 is written on there. So we know what the goal is. Wow. He's six away. He's got five games to do it. I have no doubt that he's going to break the 22.5.
Well, he could get three or four against Tennessee.
Oh, there's no question. And I think he knows that.
Yes. It's like, hello, Cam.
Well, when it's going good, he wants to stay out there, which is why he put up such a fuss when they took him out of the New England game, right?
Yeah,
he was like, I got five. I can get to seven pretty easily. Yeah. So, it could happen any weekend at this point, and it's going to be a wonderful thing to see when he does it. He has played at a level that I wasn't sure he had in him, Jeff.
Really?
He's gotten that good. And, Stefanski's made a big deal every week, and so have the other coaches, about how well he's played against the run. And if you watch that on a week-to-week basis, the fact that he's in on so many tackles at the line of scrimmage, and even when they're running in the other direction, he's managing a way to find himself in play. So yeah, it's been extremely fun to watch.
The defense overall, Tom, there have been a couple of times, and we were talking about it before the show.
Yeah.
A couple of times where you just think, if you guys can make a stop here, we can win this game. It's been few and far between, but there have been a couple of times where the defense, as good as it's been this year, had a chance to maybe lock up a game and didn't do it.
In London.
Yeah, that's really, that's tough.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that that gnaws at Miles. It gnaws at the guys on that defense like absolute crazy.
Yeah.
But I give Jim Schwartz a ton of credit because he's done a very nice job, clearly, as defensive coordinator. I mean, that's silly. And in this case, I think Andrew Berry has to get some credit. You know, when they drafted Mason Graham and followed it up with Carson Schlesinger, and we all know what the offenses look like, you thought, what?
Yeah.
He nailed those two picks.
No question.
I mean, Mason Graham, I think, will develop into a really, really good defensive tackle. And I think Mike Hall will as well, who they brought in the year before. Obviously, there have been some things there. But the Schlesinger pick was, I thought, stunning for the first pick in the second round. I mean, you had all day to think about it. You know, you had trade offers coming in like crazy, I'm sure.
An undersized UCLA linebacker?
Who walked on.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going? Well, by God, they nailed it.
Jeff, he's been an all-pro.
Tom, he's terrific.
It's unbelievable. I know. And sideline to sideline, the way he is, you know, sniffed out screenplays.
Yeah.
The way he is just, you know, stood in the hole and made, you know, big tackle time after time. The way he's, you know, covered receivers down the field. The fact that he's the signal caller as a rookie.
And they didn't hesitate to give him that gig.
It's been great. And I had heard from day one from some of the defensive teammates of how smart he was and how quickly he was taking in this information that Schwartz was giving him. And he's been astounding. I mean, I don't think he's going to get all pro just because that's more of a little bit of a popularity contest.
Yeah.
And depending on, and unfortunately,
he hasn't been around that long playing for a team with three wins.
Thank you.
Yeah.
A 3-9 team. And I know the way the media works outside, and I don't know what the voting body has changed a little bit over the last few years in terms of all AP all pros. But I've made sure that the few people that I still talk to that are on that panel are watching him because he deserves it. He's been fantastic.
He's been really good. The fact that Andrew Berry has been able to bring in pieces that have worked on the defensive side of the ball and then locking up a guy like Alex Wright, like Malik Collins is out now for the rest of the year. What a nice signing.
Great signing.
Bringing him in, and this is a guy who's been around. I mean, Malik has played on a lot of teams, but he's come in here, and obviously not for the rest of this year, but imagine his presence taken away from this defensive line and this defense from the beginning of the season. I don't think it's the same defense.
No, it's not. And it's especially, Jeff, to your point, it's not necessarily X's and O's as well. It's right. It's that veteran presence in there to maybe encourage Miles Garrett to be more of a leader, to remind him that you are the superstar player and you are the face of this franchise. Act like it. Play like it. I think some of that encouragement from Malik Collins has gone a long way to this development we've seen in Miles Garrett. I think it's also had a lot to do with what you've seen from these young guys. You mentioned both Mason Graham and Mike Hall. These are up-and-coming players. Mason Graham's potentially an up-and-coming kind of star player, if you will. I think people forget sometimes.
Who doesn't need shoulder pads?
No, he does. It's unbelievable, right? And I think sometimes we get lost and we get caught up in, and Stefanski reminds us on a week-to-week basis, sacks are the sexy stat, right? But there's so much more that goes into it.
I love how Kevin continually refers to his run game defense.
Well, and that's why, like, when people talk about, like, these PFF grades, we don't know exactly what Jim Schwartz is asking Mason Graham to do on a play-by-play basis, right?
Right.
We talk about three technique and other technique that is part and parcel of a good defense and the way it operates, right? Is he being asked to tie up the center and the guard on one play, right? You know, what is his role on a particular play? And to your point, Jeff, what this defensive line has allowed Miles Garrett to do because of the way they've played and the depth that they have has been instrumental in what has been the one real positive about this season, right, is watching this defense do its thing on a week-to-week basis.
I think that's absolutely true. Ted's with us. Hello, Ted.
Yeah, hey, guys. I got a couple of points I want to make. I'm a little concerned. Andrew Berry had a great draft, yes, this past season. But next year, with all the draft picks, we're going to probably have to at least get three offensive linemen, and he's kind of had his problems with offensive linemen. So I wanted to mention that, and I want to know what the heck is wrong with Zach Zinter. I know he was hurt in his senior season, but my God, this is 2 years down the line. They can't even get him to start a game. And then a third point I have is, Tom Withers, I know that, I don't know if you have votes on this, but I put $100 down on Carson Schlesinger to win Defensive Rookie of the Year at 33-1. And I'm wondering what you think his chances are of pulling it off.
Ted's cashing in, baby.
Hey, let's go. Yeah,
go, Ted.
I think there's a very good chance he's going to win that award. Like, All Pro is a different thing, but in terms of Defensive Rookie of the Year, I think he's probably. He's got to be the odds-on favorite at this point, doesn't he, Jeff? I mean, there's nobody else in the conversation.
I would think he has to be.
In terms of the offensive linemen, you know, let's not forget that they're beyond the draft. There is free agency and there are trades, right? And there is development. I don't know what the Zach Zinter situation is, to be quite honest. It's been interesting that he's been inactive more weeks than not, right? I'm not even sure
it's been a little bizarre.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's an injury situation going on there. We don't see Zach very, you know, again, I'm not out there as much as I used to be, but I don't see him much in the locker room. It's kind of like we're usually passing each other as we come in. He's typically one of the first young guys on their way out of the building or out of the way out of the locker room. So I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, I was worried, and Jeff, we talked about this during the summer. I was worried about the depth on the offensive line long before we had these situations at tackle, right? Long before DeJuan Jones went down again. So, you know, hopefully he's back again. And by the way, we've seen him a couple times out in Berea, and things are going in the right direction for him.
Let me just give you some names, though, as we look at this. Jedrick Wills, Nick Harris, James Hudson, who's still...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still in the league, Dawson Deaton, who is not, Luke Whippler, DeJuan Jones, Zach Zinter.
Those are the draft picks over the last how many years?
Since those are Andrew Berry's offensive line draft picks. Yeah. And well, there are not many hits there.
No, and their philosophy seems to be, you know, again, free agency, trades, what have you.
Which can work.
And we can develop guys. And when we had Bill Callahan, we were definitely developing guys. So there's other ways to skin the cat there.
If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get to your phone calls. John Telich, legendary Cleveland sports broadcaster, joining us next to talk a little Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame. Big doings. In Cleveland tonight, big doings, the Greater Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame, inducting new members tonight. Our buddy who has been behind all of this and has taken a front and center role in the Greater Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. You watched him for decades on Channel 8. He might be the nicest person to ever work in broadcasting. He's Mr. John Telich. Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff and Tom? Good to be on with you guys. What's shaking there, my friend?
Hi, GT.
Good to have you here, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. A little nervous and excited, all rolled into one, you know, with the not only the induction ceremonies tonight, but we're opening the hall. I mean, we've never had a Hall of Fame in the Greater Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame's history since 1976. It's just been plaques and acceptance speeches and stuff like that. We have a Hall of Fame at West 47th and Lorraine on the campus of Urban Community School. And tonight we're inducting five people into the hall, and then they will take their places along with the 540 that have come before them in the previous 49 years of existence of the hall. So it's a nerve-wracking thing putting it all together and being involved in it. But, boy, I'm so excited. And same, of course, for Bobby DiBiasio, our president and fearless leader. We are really excited for this.
Congratulations, John. You know, Cleveland knows how to do halls of fame, if you will. And my understanding is you guys actually at least talked to the folks over at the Rock Hall about displays and how you guys were going to put the space together. So give us an inside look at what the space does look like.
Oh, great. Great question, Tom. And you are right. Not only did we consult with the folks at the Rock Hall, we have one of the companies that's done work with them that does a lot of the display work over at the Rock Hall, Benchmark Craftsmen. They're out of Seville, and we work with Impact Communications here in Cleveland to come up with a lot of interactive things. You know, you can go there, you can use touch screens to find each and every one of the Hall of Famers. We have a How Do You Size Up exhibit where you can see where you stand in terms of, like, alongside Zadrunas, or maybe Brad Friedel, the great goalie, or Tanya Kwiatkowski, the skater, or Mike Manganiello, the Kentucky Derby winning jockey. A lot of those types of things. And what really is exciting, guys, is we've had so many great sportscasters in Northeast Ohio, the play-by-play folks, like Jimmy Donovan, who went in last year into the hall literally 10 days before he passed. May he rest in peace. And of course, Joe Tate and Tommy Hamilton and guys like that. We have an exhibit where kids of all ages, obviously, can go into this booth, select one of the plays that Jimmy did or Joe did or Tommy did, and then try to do it the best to your ability. And then you'll have your own recorded concept to take with you to share with your friends and put it on social media, that type of stuff. So we're really excited about it. And but again, you know, a little nerve-wracking, wanting to make sure we get off to a great start here tonight and in the west side of Cleveland.
John Telich joining us. John, who's getting inducted tonight?
Well, we are bringing in Chris Spielman. Of course, you guys all know his great history at Massillon, Ohio State University, and, of course, with the Lions and the Bills. Wanda Ford was one of the greatest women's basketball players in college sports for many a moon. She was a great rebounder and scorer, came out of East Tech, played at Drake. She is coming in the class. Tiana Madison from Elyria High School, three-time Olympic gold medalist, two times on the 4x100 and one time as a long jumper. She is in. And then the two-time UFC heavyweight champion, retired of the world, Mr. Stipe Miocic. Those are our athletes that are going in. And I do want to give a great tip of the hat to Jack Turbin, a visionary, great businessman, supporter of Cleveland sports, who we would not have this Hall of Fame without. The great generosity and efforts of Jack Turbin. Jack is going in the meritorious service category.
Very nice, JT. I think people forget, too, that Chris Spielman actually retired with the Browns. He was part of that that expansion rebirth, if you will. And there's still a...
Had he not been hurt.
No, I know. And a little insider here, there's a rock still outside of the facility in Berea with Chris Spielman's name on it, which is something we almost like, you want to touch it before you go out to the practice field because he's...
Awesome. You're right. He, Chris Spielman, and the beautiful thing here, too, guys, is if I can just talk a little bit about like how the hall's set up. It's nine counties from Ashtabula Northeast to Lorain Northwest, all the way down to Stark County. And only in the last 3 to 4 years have we pushed it out to nine counties. So all these years up until 3 years ago, someone like Chris Spielman really wasn't eligible because if you're not from our region, or if you're from our region, you can be in the Hall of Fame in those nine counties. But if you're not from our region, and then you came here and you started in sports, and then you made Cleveland your home, then you're a greater Clevelander and you can be in our hall. So it's great to put Chris Spielman in. Yeah. Unfortunately, guys, he is so, holed up into his role as a consultant and executive with the Detroit Lions. He won't even be able to be with us tonight. They're playing in two nights. On Thursday night football. And so, it's too bad he can't be with us, but we are just going to have a great time tonight celebrating Cleveland sports.
I think he's still celebrating Saturday's win up north, if you will. JT, exactly. Real quickly, just because you've been around this this sports community for so long, what's your take on what's been going on with the Brownies this year? I know we've got a quarterback situation that hasn't been fixed, but what are your thoughts on the Browns and what they've been doing?
Well, I think it's just been a further accumulation of their persona, and it's been a one dysfunctional football franchise. And I think they gave so many mixed messages with the four quarterbacks in the building months ago, and then now I'm not sure if they think that Shador is the answer going forward. And so here we are. They did a nice job getting the young kids on the roster, Fannin, the linebacker, and Judkins and company. That's great. But they're wasting the talents of Denzel Ward and Miles Garrett and some of these great defensive guys by not being good on the other two sides of the football.
John, agreed. Last thing, induction ceremony tonight. You have a facility.
Yes.
Do you have hours where people can come in and watch? And look at the Hall of Fame.
Well, the Hall of Fame, the ceremonies, of course, are tonight. And then while we go forward, we will be, it will be free to the public. But I would just say now, while we're still in an area of flux as far as schedule is concerned, you may just have to go to the Hall's website, Cleveland Sports Hall, to find out those hours. But we're excited for this thing to finally be open. It's going to be awesome.
Congratulations on your work, on Bobby D's work, and everybody putting it all together. It's a wonderful thing for the city of Cleveland and the sports family in Cleveland, and we appreciate your efforts, John.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.